SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Thursday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, Sirius XM Online, and at our website, stevebick.com. A really, really pleasant Thursday, and seems like we're in position for a nice weekend here. Not sure if the rain's going to hold off downstate, but we certainly have got a cigar mile and associated card that, you know, came up quite nice. And we'll talk about the Remsen and Demoiselle and Gopher Wand, but it's the cigar that, you know, to a large degree, that gets the headlines. And Shug McGahey, who is, you know, really on a nice roll, performer, drew the rail and faces off against another eight. And, you know, it's not exactly, you know, it's not, I wouldn't call it star-studded, let's put it that way. But there's some very accomplished horses, and it also marks the return to action of King Guillermo. And, you know, King Guillermo, coming out of that performance in the Arkansas Derby, and then you know, was going to train up to the Kentucky Derby. It seemed like, you know, there were some issues. The good news is he's had a steady string of works, and he's obviously ready. And it includes a couple of Gulfstream bullets, including a gate blast, best of 38, 46 and 4. So the return of King Guillermo adds some intrigue. And, you know, you heard Randy Hill, and speaking of Randy, we'll get back to him in a minute. You heard Randy the other morning say that George Weaver was going to potentially bring Majestic Dunhill right back, and he did. He absolutely entered. And, in fact, there were a couple of names that that popped into this. You heard Steve Asmussen, if you were listening to the replay, you know, Steve with that op-ed in TDN, and I said, you know, I wasn't going to obligate him to talk horses, although I did bring up Clarier. I think I'm taking a shine to her. But Snapper Sinclair for Jeff Bloom. I almost said Jeff Goldblum. I have no idea why, but I came very close to saying Jeff Goldblum instead of just Jeff Bloom. You know, it's an interesting spot for Snapper Sinclair. Has had these most recent turf runs, including, you know, going back to Kentucky Downs to try to repeat in the Tourist Mile, and was only, you know, was only shy of less than a length to Flavius, and, you know, then came back in a Churchill allowance on, I think that was on Oaks Day, or Thurby, and now returns to the dirt. Last time we saw him on dirt goes back to May, and a try in the Blame, Owendale. You know, he had also gone through the Oaklawn lead up to the mile. He participated in the fifth season, the Razorback, the Essex, and the Oaklawn Mile, and, you know, then this move to the, you know, over to the turf. So Snapper Sinclair, who is 5 years old, he feels like he's been around for years, right? Mind Control, who was intended for this, you know, has built up in his career a nice resume at Aqueduct on the Main, and, you know, the Mile, he's got a win and a placement, including at Aqueduct with the Gotham and I'm trying to think of the other that he participated in. So Mind Control stretches out. Majestic Dunhill has never gone a mile, so you got a couple of those, and there's plenty of interest on the front end with Mr. Buff in here. John Kimmel, of course, for the Bromans. Firenze Fire, as his career seemingly winding down, and Pleasant Acres, right, headed to Pleasant Acres to stand. He's 3 for 6 in a mile. Hasn't participated in a mile event in a while. But you know, we talked to Kelly Breen a couple of times over the summer and into the fall. And he, you know, he said he was getting to know him, and he, you know, he certainly felt like the, you know, the one turn mile. I think this came up with Kelly, right? He's coming out of the Breeders' Cup placement, of course. Bon Raison, who tried the ambitious spot with the Breeders' Cup sprint, and certainly, you know, he's a horse that has gone a mile and has done it, you know, has done the one turn at Aqueduct and the two turns at Aqueduct. True Timber in here as well for Jack Sisterson. So both of the Calumets that were considering it participated. So there's your field. Performer with Rosario. Mind Control, Johnny V for Greg Sacco. Snapper Sinclair, Asmussen Franco. Firenze Fire, Kelly Breen, Jose Lascano, Junior Alvarado for John Kimmel on Mr. Buff. Jose Ortiz picks up the mount on King Guillermo. Dylan Davis jumps aboard Majestic Dunhill for Randy and George Weaver. And Kendrick Carmouche, who's ridden True Timber a bit this summer and into the fall. And Jose Vargas, Jr. aboard Bon Raison. So there's your Cigar Mile. Looking forward to Saturday. A couple of things about Saturday. In fact, the Cigar Mile Challenge, the contest, mentioned, I think, a couple of times already. We'll remind you. Got to register by tomorrow, 5 o'clock. Naira Betts customers. $500, half to the prize pool, half bankroll. We'll go through those specifics. Some TV coverage as well. And there's also, even though the Empire Six got taken out the other day, we'll discuss that tomorrow with Dave Grenig. There's a force out tomorrow of the, not tomorrow, but Saturday of the Empire Six starts in race 5. The Remsen, just a 5-horse field, but it's a nice 5-horse field. And Shug here too, 10 for 10, who we talked about with him last week. How about Kelly Breen, that pick and time that I mentioned as exiting the Kentucky Derby future wager? This is the Jersey Bred. Homebred for John Bowers Jr. and a Stay Thirsty out of the King of Kings mare, coming off the Nashua win. Of course, the mile and the eighth is the unknown when it comes to the Remsen, but he's run two solid races going a mile, the one turn at Aqueduct and the two turns at Monmouth. Known Agenda, homebred for Vinny Viola, St. Elias. This is a Curlin colt that broke his maiden about 4 weeks ago. 79 buyer doing that. Brooklyn Strong, Rosario for Danny Velasquez. This was the New York bred Sleepy Hollow winner on the day that Velasquez took down his first two stakes of his training career. And Jose Corrales with Erewhon, a horse that he owns. A Rockhampton colt. A son of Stormcat. Going to have to That we're going to have to look up. And was a first out winner at Laurel, and then came back and had some issues. Was moved up on a DQ just, 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago, also at Laurel, and 10 for 10. So five-pack. And then in the girls' race in the Demoiselle, they got a nice field there. And it looks like, Todd, I thought at first glance anyway, that that Todd Pletcher down inside, Malathat back, 2 for 2, that resounding, tempted win. Carlin out of Dreaming of Julia for Shadwell, the $1,050,000 yearling. And then Traffic Lane coming off a maiden win from Mike Rapoli. This is an outwork filly that Rapoli paid $95,000 for as a Keeneland yearling. Judmont has got their Curlin filly, Milfay. Raise your hands if you love a good Milfay. It's a pastry. Quite good. Usually seen as three layers of, you know, wafer thin sheeted pastry and cream filled, and then with a white glaze with striping. Milfay. Very nice. Woods Lane's got their homebred. Boy, this thing is chock full of homebreds. Woods Lane's got their Curlin filly, and chock full of Curlins, too. Gotta love this. I mean, this is straight out of the John Sakura playbook. Third Curlin out of four, Malibu Curl, a maiden winner at Saratoga, closing week. How about Brary Jones's homebred upstart filly, Dollar Mountain, for George? Shug's got Cafe Society in here. I'm telling you, Shug has got a loaded wagon. This is the Empire Maker filly that was third in the Tempted, is going to have to, you know, increase her performance level to get to Malathat. But Joe Allen, $475,000 OBS April purchase. And Mitch Friedman, with the horse of Rich Greeley's, the $100,000 Saratoga New York bred, crafted by the Bromans, a pioneer of the Nile, Karamoka. And Jerry O'Dwyer comes to town with Celestial Cheetah, a social inclusion filly for Designated Hitters Racing, broke the maiden at Delaware at the beginning of October. So very nice Demoiselle. And there's also the Gopher Wand. Looking forward to diving into this tonight and into tomorrow for weekend preview. We'll talk to Dave Grenig, I mentioned, and Nick Tamaro. Elsewhere, of course, Los Al. And we'll save some of the Los Al conversation for a visit with Bob Moreno. Bob will join us in hour three, opening day tomorrow at Los Al, as I reach and look for the Los Al stuff. Let's, well, I don't know what else you're going to call it. The Los Al sheets. There it is. There we go. Los Al. And tomorrow, 8-race card starts at 4:00 Eastern. And then on Saturday, the Starlet, the grade one, another, you know, kind of shortish field, kind of dealing with this. As it happens, there's nice full fields of maidens on either end of this. There's Calbreds before the Starlet, and there's Open Company after the Starlet. And both of those races drew overflow fields, 10 in the body and 2 AEs. The Starlet, though, a 5-pack, and Baffert loading up the entry box. Baffert sent 3 for the Starlet, and that includes Calypso, who drew the rail, the Brody's Cause filly, coming out of the Enochia win, having to stretch out, Princess Noor out of the Breeders' Cup, and you know, lost in the conversation about Princess Noor. She ran a career best. It's not like she didn't even improve quite significantly from her, you know, 3-for-3 performances with 70s buyers. She got an 85 buyer in the juvenile fillies. And, you know, wasn't enough to withstand Vequist and Day at the Office and et cetera, and Girl Daddy, et cetera. But she did take a step forward. And so she's come back, actually, and fired a bullet as well at Santa Anita, preparing for this. And then the third of the Baffert trio, Varda for Bayoma, for Mrs. Chu, and this is the Distorted Humor filly that was second to Princess Noor and ran well in the Chandelier, but she'd have to improve significantly. Calypso broke her maiden, the Brody's Cause for Rockingham Ranch and Dave Burnson, broke her maiden in the Enochia, 70s buyers. Then there's Michael McCarthy for the Warrens with the Nyquist filly Nasruddin. Broke her maiden at Del Mar beginning of November. And that very nice-looking LNJ Foxwoods Spitestown filly, Windstar Bred, 4 1/4, Keeneland Yearling, Astute, 2-for-2, coming out of the Desi Arnaz win. And, you know, Mandela had been unsure if it was going to be too quick. You remember Jay discussed this coming out of that weekend. And Mandela obviously happy enough with the way she's, you know, come out of that race. It includes a very sharp 46 flat half mile before they broke camp at Del Mar. So five of them in the Starlet and a nice five. Good full fields at Los Al, the first two cards. And other than the grade one with the five of them, but looking forward to talking to Bob Marino in a little bit. So there's the headlines from yesterday out of the draws. And, of course, at Gulfstream, you're going to have another set of full fields with the Claiming Crown. They drew a bunch of horses. There's also a couple of good stakes to glance at. Tampa starts to, you know, get into their stake schedule, the inaugural and the Sandpiper. And there's a couple of juvenile Maryland, the Maryland Juvenile and Juvenile Philly as well. All $100,000 events on Saturday. And then today they'll put together the Sunday cards. And I suppose the biggest stake really on Sunday, the Biakoa for the older fillies and mares going 1 1/16 at Los Al. So there's the stakes portion. When I mentioned, you know, the headlines from yesterday, I guess there was no bigger or more widely appreciated piece of news than the tidbit that Mike Lakow delivered here 24 hours ago, when he included as one of the highlights of starting the winter season at Gulfstream, the fact that they were going to run races at the published post times. And it was met yesterday with widespread glee and acclamation, let's call it. People were really, the people that hadn't heard it on the show, they were taken aback when they tuned in and saw races going off at the prescribed times. Pretty funny. And that came off very well, so very well received. And you know, it obviously players appreciate it, but also the simulcast, you know, the simulcast aspect of this, the marketplace. You know, you're interacting with other racetracks. I mean, and you know, behind the scenes, while that was going on with the, you know, with that post time drag, the animosity from that front, not as public, as, you know, the irking of players, but certainly just as much a part of the, you know, the annoyance and frustration with this period that, you know, went on. So very, very well received. And I saw where Bill Finley spoke to Aiden Butler, and Butler said all the right things about, you know, running races based on the you know, the published estimated post times. And as Mike Lakow rightly said, there's going to be, you know, there are going to be circumstances, you know, shoe issues, horses throw a shoe walking over, you know, step on themselves and pull one off, etc. So, you know, there's stuff like that. There's those delays, and that stuff's going to happen. Nobody's going to begrudge that. And I appreciated that Mike said, when they have Rainbow Six force outs, give them some leeway. You'll probably get a couple of delays there, which, okay, we can live with that. It seems like everybody on the force outs gives a few extra minutes for people. But on a race, daily race basis, it appears that they will run on time. So that was yesterday's most widespread, most widely discussed topic, it seemed. Certainly discussed quite a bit amongst our listenership. Big thank yous went out to Randy Hill. And how about yesterday, opening day at Gulfstream, and Randy talked about King of Rock and that Michelle Nehe was going to saddle. And that worked out quite well. For those that jumped aboard, and Smokin' Joe McKay, and Joe dutifully records comments of trainer guests, and is very careful and patient about it, and does quite well. This one obviously was, you know, within a day of discussion. But King of Rock, the race day colt, wins that claimer, the nightcap, and pays 20 over 20 to 1, paid 42.80, and the just under even money fave catches French Reef. So some people, and heard from a few people. In addition to that win, there was also at Turfway the horse that Mark Cassie had talked about, had come up in it was either in Cassie's last visit or the one before that, that horse Danger, the 2-year-old filly, broke her maiden at Turfway in the fifth and paid well, paid better probably than she should have, wire to wire under Chris Landeros, 31.20. And this included a 46-1 shot second. So I know of one, I know one listener that tweeted and was thrilled because they wheeled Danger with everybody and caught the $747 exacta. That was for $2. There were a couple of crazy numbers, by the way, yesterday. And that included at Turfway, where you had a monster, a Tampa too. Tampa had a crazy return yesterday that I got to dig out. I happened to wander into yesterday at Turfway for opening day. A quick survey before Dick Powell is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. And there's quite a bit of international. I haven't even talked yet this week about Almond Eye going out the way she did with a win. And we'll let Dick talk about that. And there's a lot of things to get excited about for next week in Hong Kong. We got the HKIR, the international races. You got the jockey competition. A lot of cool things going on. And I also noticed I'll probably ask Dick, too, about a Dubai aspect. Who did I see? Pakistan star? I gotta ask Dick about that. I there's so many that actually have kind of gotten very excited about classic legend and those exploits. So Dick coming up in about 5 minutes. Meanwhile, here was the Turfway opening night action, and Michael Tomlinson with a pair of winners. Congrats to Michael. Opened the whole meet with Joe Rocco, Anaf, breaking the maiden. Got things going. It was a mile and a quarter start to get the season rolling. This one for Diamond F Racing. And what I sort of wanted to track, as we talked with Ed DeRosa yesterday, where the winners are going to be coming from. And for opening night, Churchill, very strong. And of the eight races, half of the winners came from Churchill. But you had Tomlinson and Rocco with a favorite start things off. Then a Churchill last out. You had a Saratoga last out winner for Wesley Ward. That was that Mr. Everything won the second as a favorite. Then the fifth choice, Whispering Kitten, Michelle Brafford. And it's funny because Brafford had come up separately with a different starter and with Angel Surfer, that little skiff in the sixth. But here was Serpa and Brafford in the third with a nice price on Whispering Kitten, paid $20. Was a last out at Laurel, fifth choice. Then you had another favorite, Drink, John Ortiz with Albin Jimenez coming out of Churchill. So favorites win the three of the first four. But then you had the Danger. You had the Cassie, last seen at Churchill, as the eighth choice at a nice number. Then another favorite, that Color Me Pretty was just way, way too good in the allowance that we talked about with Ed. Yeah, Color Me Pretty overwhelmed that field with Bayerano as the favorite. Then you had a horse come off the AE list with Joe Rocco and Tomlinson. So they combined for a pair of wins. And Direct Approach. And Direct Approach was a nice number in the eighth race. I want to say was in the 15. Yeah, 13 to 1, almost 14. Paid $29.40 before the nightcap. And Ship It, as mentioned. Ship It was way too good, the McPeak, with Bayerano. So you got a few jocks that are hanging around, as we discussed with Chip Bach, too, and with Marty McGee. A couple of jocks that are, they'll head to warmer climbs or Oaklawn, but they're, going to start the winter at Turfway. More good racing to come tonight at Turfway, and you got the Holiday inaugural stake on Friday night, tomorrow night. So first few cards, really good. Today, too, actually, there's a quick mention. There's a one-mile allowance tonight, 9:12, the seventh race, and kind of caught my eye. There was that horse Ravelli's got, Busy Channel, who I kind of like. Ritzy AP showed up in here. Mr. Misunderstood for Cox. Good old Pikachu, Brian Michael. Pikachu, see how he likes the new surface, the new Tapita. Very, very good allowance. $39,000 purse, 1 mile. Rated our superstar in here. Final Jeopardy for Bill Morey. Set Piece for Cox. This is a really good group. Field of 12 tonight as the feature. It looks like you're going to have to look at Turfway on a regular basis. And then tomorrow, Friday night, 8:12 post for the Holiday, which also drew a terrific field and some familiar names like Stillwater Cove, Artie's Princess. Wesley Ward sent three in here. Really good. Really good. Yeah, I found myself, I've kept surprising myself overnight and this morning, printing out more races than I might have expected. So good start to the Turfway season. And we mentioned Gulfstream and that Nightcap winner. The Gulfstream had a nice eclectic set of horses, too. Quite a few that had made starts at Calder and at Gulfstream. But I think a couple that came out of Monmouth, Kelly Breen and Steve Claseris winning races. You had a couple of horses come out of Belmont. How about Kent Sweezy with a pair of winners yesterday? Sweezy winning the first and the fourth at Gulfstream. Nice start to the winter season. And who else? Alan Iwinski and Rajiv combined to win a non-winners of three at a decent price. Toa, that was in the seventh. Who else with Gargan, who seems to be warming up after a cool stretch? Joe Orsino, too. Joe O won the second. Paco had looked like at least three wins, I think, yesterday. And just got beat in the nightcap, so came close to a fourth. So, yeah, Paco, Victor Lebron, Edgar Zayas, Saez, Vasquez, Lopez again, Rajiv, Luca Panici for Kathy Ritvo. The Reeveses have won like four races in less than a week. And then Kelly Breen with Paco, and then Victor Lebron again. So good start there. And here's that Tampa piece. I was keeping an eye on it for, from the some of the opinions that Seth offered. It was a maiden. Where's that maiden race? Was the seventh? Looks like the is that right? Let me see. Seventh, yeah, in the seventh race. Yesterday at Tampa, you had Ron Potts with a Temple City filly break her maiden with Antonio Gallardo, 22-1. So, all right, it's gonna be productive. The runner up, She Dances. The winner was Lenten Rose, a Gunpowder Farms produced filly. Alejandro Vergara owns, but She Dances for Fate was 105-1, and she was not the longest shot on the board. There was 107-1 shot, but She Dances for Fate, 105-1, paid $61.60 to place, and was clear from there was a dead heat for third, which I'm sure some people were disappointed that Golden Ibis or Gaelic Tales, one or the other didn't win. But because obviously, it siphons out the payoffs as well as for the super, as well as for the try. But here's the mutuals. The $1 exacta paid $969.30. The 50-cent try paid $1,981. That was with the Gaelic Tales, and with the favorite, the 6-5 favorite. Yeah, 6-5 favorite, Gaelic Tales. Is that right? 5-2-10. 5-2-10 paid 1981. And with the other dead heater, paid 1855. And the supers, the 10-cent supers, $2,096 and $6,987. This is for a dime. So crazy. crazy result at Tampa yesterday. Kind of fun. So I don't. Seth did not have the 105-1 shot. I don't think involved. But anyway, I wanted that caught my eye yesterday. It was just, you know, you're watching and the payoffs come up and. I figured you wouldn't mind. Yeah, you'd want to hear about that if you hadn't seen it. Going to reach for Case. Let's get a visit in with Dick. Got Dick now? No, not yet. All right, we'll get Dick Powell lined up. Yeah. All right. Beyond that, I guess while we pause here, waiting for Dick. Yeah. Panzeretta. I got to get Marcus tomorrow. I missed him last week. I wanted to talk to Marcus, but we couldn't connect. So we'll get Marcus in and have our first serious Fairgrounds discussion, and they resumed today too. And I haven't checked weather-wise. All races are on the turf in New York today. By the way, so that was I don't know. You know, I think Sunday appears to be the last day of turf. They're going to try. They only scheduled one turf race in New York on Saturday. There had been potential. There were three races in the book, and they didn't card any of those, which makes sense. Well, unfortunately, boy, New Orleans just cannot get out from under. Looks like rain today in New Orleans, but then improving towards Saturday. So hopefully they can start to, they've yet to run a turf race. Every turf race that was scheduled has come off. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, how are you?
Excellent. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, I did. It's very good.
Nice. Well, dive in, Dick. We've got quite a bit. And before we get to the Hong Kong action, and obviously in addition to what's gone on and what's coming, really anticipating, there's been a steady drumbeat of news toward, you know, the jockey competition and more importantly toward the HKIR. We'll get to that. But how about a quick survey of and final career thank yous and salutations for Almond Eye?
Well, it's hard to believe that a filly, now a mare, as good as she was, with 8 Group 1 stakes wins, most in outrageous times, I mean world record type times, might be considered underrated. That she, you know, she was on the radar, but not above it too much. She did go to Dubai, won there 2 years ago. Unfortunately, she was supposed to go to Hong Kong last year at this time, and that didn't work out. And her domestic races were spectacular. She won the Japan Cup for the second time over a 3-year period, very similar to her first one, where Kiseki had just set this brutally demanding pace and opened up this big lead, and Almanai not only ran him down, but held off the undefeated, 3-year-old undefeated champion, Triple Crown winner, Contrail. So Almanai goes out on a high note, 8 Group 1 stakes win, massive earnings on the track. Not sure who they were going to breed her to. her dam is by Sunday Silence, so you're kind of knocking out the Deep Impact line stallions that are over there for inbreeding reasons. But, you know, she'll, whoever she's brought to, she'll do great. But she just, you know, she just didn't get enough attention that she deserved, because on firm turf, going to any kind of route or ground, I don't know how you could beat her. I mean, you know, unfortunately, travel is very restricted, and this is before COVID, with various quarantines and stuff like that. So she never went to the Cox Plate because it kind of interferes with the Japan Cup and things like that. And Cox Plate on firm ground would have been right up her alley and things like that. And, you know, and then you're talking, during that time frame, you're talking about her against Winks, which would have been pretty good. And just she was a spectacular. I can't say enough good things about her. And she went out on a terrific high note, beat a solid, solid field. And that was it. Just, she was great. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, she's one of these. I don't know if, I mean, Cesario, we had the benefit of her coming to North America, but she really was hard not to take an interest in her.
Well, she ran like a mile, a quarter in 157. She ran a mile and a half in 222. She ran a mile in 31. I mean, just crazy times, and could just kept going. You know, she was fast, but she could get a mile and a half, as she did again Sunday morning in Japan. So she was just absolutely awesome. And it was an exciting race, because you're watching the race and you see Kiseki is a legitimate horse with this gigantic lead, you know, and there's a point where you can separate yourself far enough that they can't catch you, as tired as you might be and as much as they're coming. And she did, and then had to hold off an undefeated Triple Crown winner. And by the way, Steve, Contrail, who ran second, first defeat, he almost certainly will be pointed to next year's Arc de Triomphe.
Right.
And that is a... I can't describe it, how badly the Japanese want to win that race. They've come close a couple of times. They had this crazy loss with a feather who looked like it was a winner and somehow ducks in the stretch and loses the race. But Contrail will be as good a horse as they've ever sent there. Best horse they've sent there since Deep Impact went. So that'll something to look forward to, and maybe the world will be back to a little bit normal and people can go to the Arc de Triomphe next year. But
yeah, exactly. I saw some Pakistan Star conversation as well the other day, and I wanted to ask you about what was going on.
Well, he may be running as we speak. He's in the fifth race in Maidan today.
Right, Dubai, and I. Good point. I did not pull up.
I was trying to get the results, and the domestic part of the Maidan schedule doesn't get simulcast, so I haven't seen the result yet. He's just, I shouldn't call him a crazy horse, but if you've been around horses, you know how crazy they are. So he won two group ones in Hong Kong. One race, he gets left at the gate and somehow rallies in time. And he decides, not only do I not feel like running, he stops during the race. And I've seen horses get out of the gate or refuse to get out of the gate, but this one got out of the gate and then he just stopped. So the stewards didn't like that. They made him go back through barrier trials. He did it again in a trial, and they ruled him off, and rightfully so, because there is money bet on these races. And how are you protecting the public? Unless you ran them for purse money only, you're not protecting the public's interest by having a horse who may or may not want to run that day. So he wound up with Doug Watson, and he's in Dubai. He's racing at a mile and a quarter on dirt today, which is kind of unusual, because dirt is Boy, if you ever want an excuse not to race, a mile and a quarter with dirt hitting you in the face might be it. But Watson's been raving about him and says no problems. But until he gets into a race with a competitive situation, and we'll see what he does. But obviously a world of talent. He's 7 years old, which hasn't been raced that often. And still has a very, very high rating, 113. So I mean, certainly the class is there. And if he were to, you know, get his act together, especially on dirt, he would be an interesting horse for the rest of the carnival there. So, yeah, Pakistan Star, just when you thought he was out, they pulled him back in.
I know. I saw the chatter, and he was a short price too in that race today. And I'm also hard pressed to get any results this morning. On the Dubai front. So I'll leave it in your hands, Dick. All right, let's turn our attention to what is obviously we're going to look ahead more so than normal, more so than to the weekend, because the international races starting to pretty much take shape, and there's plenty to get excited about.
Well, next Wednesday, Happy Valley, early in the morning for us, Wednesday morning. We have the International Longines International Jockey Championship. 12 riders will participate in 4 races. The local contingent is Zach Purton, last year's champion, Joe Marrera, who's killing it this year, Karis Teton, Vincent Ho, who's the best local rider, locally developed rider of Golden 60, who'll have big shot the following Sunday in the Hong Kong Cup. Alexi Bedell and Neil Callan. They will represent Hong Kong, and they will be up against Ryan Moore, William Buick, Tom Marquand, Holly Doyle, Pierre-Charles Boudreau, and Mikhail Barcelona. So very... I wouldn't say evenly matched, but this is going to be interesting because that they'll run 4 races over varied distances. And as we know, Happy Valley is a pretty tough track. If you haven't been there, you know, for some of these riders who haven't competed there before, it's going to be interesting for them to see how they can handle the 6 furlong race as like an elbow and then a right-hand turn to go down the backstretch, and then a very sharp turn to turn for home, and a very short stretch, 300-meter stretch. So home team would seem to have the edge, but we'll see how it works out. They got a committee that's going to assign riders to horses and try to make it as fair as possible within the handicapped races. So that should be a lot of fun. Not competing in the International Jockey Challenge, but soon to be on the scene is going to be Christophe Soumillon, who is going to ride in Hong Kong on a regular basis until mid-February. So he's been granted a license for about 2 months. He'll ride from mid-December to mid-February. He's done this before. He is one of the world's great riders. Had he not had the COVID positive, he was looking at a big Breeders' Cup this year, and he should fit in quite nicely in your domestic racing at Hong Kong. So here's my trivia question, Steve. 2 parts. Soumillon is from what country?
Well, I mean, France, the obvious answer.
No, Belgium.
Okay, Belgium. And okay, William, I didn't realize that.
And William Buick is from what country?
Well, are we going to parse out? Are we going to parse out? You know, Ireland and so forth.
Oh, but where's he from?
The UK. I mean, I don't know where he was born and raised.
Norway.
Is that right? He's Norwegian by heritage.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
He is. Yes.
No. Very cool.
for a little hard slider up under the chin there.
There you go. Very fun.
So, but the international challenge, which will be great because at least for us in the East Coast, we can watch it live next Wednesday morning from Happy Valley. So that'll just be terrific. And then the following Sunday, we'll have time to talk about this next Thursday, but the following Sunday are the four Longines International, Hong Kong International races, the sprint, the mile, the cup, and the Vaz. They did very well with their recruiting. Got lots of international-type horses, including some from Japan, some from Aidan O'Brien. Magical is in for Aidan O'Brien, as is Mogul, as is Order of Australia. So O'Brien will be well represented, as he has been in the past. Japanese will be very tough again. The local contingent going to be interesting in the sense that Golden 60 will just be awesome. That'll be a spectacular race, him in the mile. Beauty Generation, who has not raced this season, is going to race. They've just pointed him for this one race, and this could be his farewell, but he will be in that. He's run well in that in the past. And then we have, as you mentioned, Classic Legend, the winner of the Everest in Australia, is going to run in the sprint for new trainer Casper Founds and new jockey Vincent Ho. Kieran McAvoy is not going to be able to ride. He's backed
that.
Out with the quarantine that he would have to go through going back to Australia. He'd pretty much miss Christmas. So local Vincent Ho, who has to ride on Golden 60, he will ride Classic Legend. Now, Classic Legend ran in a barrier trial the other day. It was 5 furlongs down the straightaway. He ran third. He looked okay. But when you read the comments from Casper Founds, I don't think I've ever heard a trainer cold water a horse more than he has. He's been doing nothing but pour cold water on him. Now, he's trying to manage expectations. There's obviously very high expectations for a horse of this caliber, not only to come for the Longines International races, but he's staying in Hong Kong. So Founds is just kind of taking his time, step by step, had gone through quarantine in Australia before he left, and because he's staying, he has a different, more rigorous quarantine. But obviously an immensely talented horse. And he will be taking on the best of Hong Kong sprinters in the Hong Kong sprint. So we'll have lots to talk about next Thursday with those races. But that's despite all the issues around the world, a really strong international contingent was able to make it this year.
Well, you can follow this. There's the micro site that HKJC has set up just for the week too, where everything you could possibly want about the races, the sprint, the mile, the cup, and the Vaz, and analysis and all the paperwork.
It's absolutely awesome.
It's unbelievable.
Really it's just fantastic what they have, and it'll constantly be updated. I mean, they have a form guide out there, but that'll change, and then when the barrier draw is conducted and final assignments and everything. And, yeah, that's just it's a wealth of information.
There's the address. I'm just wondering, there's like a sub address, and obviously I'm just going to see if it's easier to send people to hkjc.com. There you do see plenty of links. Yeah, if you go to the main page, to hkjc.com, and then click on any of the graphics for the HKIR, it'll take you to the separate micro site, and all that information is there, so you don't have to try to find your way through what is already the main site is already loaded with, you know, with more information, overwhelming information. So do it that way, and you'll see it. We've got we got links up at our website too, and I'm seeing it all over the trade, all the North American trade websites too. So click on it, and everything you're going to want leading up to the IRs next week. Let me, Dick, let's get a little bit of review of what went on. I'll send the link out too on Twitter. But let's look back at this past week too.
Okay, well, we had that stretch where form had kind of left town. Favorites were not winning. They were actually 6-57 over a 6-race card, 3-week period, 10.5% winning favorites. And then suddenly it turned around. Chatin was 6 out of 10 favorites. Last week, Happy Valley was 4 out of 8, which is high for Happy Valley. This past Sunday, a Chatin, 5 out of 10 favorites. So that's 15 out of 28, 54% favorites the last 3 race cards. So we had one extreme one way, and now the 3 prior cards were very formful. Yesterday was your typical Happy Valley, 2 out of 8 favorites, 25%. That's you can almost carve that into stone without having too much to worry about. You watch races and you see things. And yesterday I'm watching, and Casper Founds, who is just red hot, leading Trina by 10. He has a horse in race 4, and he's ridden by none other than Joe Moreira, who's just crushing the rider standing. He's 20 ahead of Zach Purton. And they send out this 6-1 shot, Champ Patrol. And he just jogs. And Joe is in the midst of a three race win streak there. So it's one of those races when you look back, you say, how did Founds and Moreira combine for a $13 winner? Well, thank God I was paying attention. So I hit that. Joe had the lead in the last race. He made an easy lead in the sprint race. Now, yesterday was funny because all the races, with one exception, were slower than standard, and many significantly slower. So in the last race, the favorite had the lead. It was not as fast-paced, and he was run down in the last strides by Latour. Vincent Ho got that one up in time, but racing was good yesterday. They had some unusual distances. So this coming Sunday, we are back at Chatin. We're running at midnight East Coast time, 9 p.m. Pacific time. 6 races on the all-weather, 4 on the turf. So they give the turf a little bit of a break for the following week's international races. So race 1, 2, 3, 4, 9, 10 are on all weather. Zach Purton was suspended for yesterday's card, and he's suspended again on the Sunday. So that lead that Joe has in the riders, I know it's early, but 20 is kind of hard to make up. So Zach's going to have to pick up the pace. Now, all weather racing, we have 6 all weather races. We've only had 21 for the year, for this season, but favorites won 9 out of the 21, and the average winning price was only $10.52. So form does very well on the all-weather track. Speed seems to do very well on the all-weather track. So I will give you a couple of picks for Sunday. Race 7, we're going to go to one extreme. Casemiro, who, as you know, used to play for Real Madrid. I don't know if he's still there. He's a dead closer, and I mean dead. He won his last race. He was 14th turning for home, and he gets up by a neck. Now, Jerry Chow's back, so he only picks up the weight of, you know, by increasing the rating. But he draws post 8. They're going 1,400 meters. I think he can rally again. And in a race with some first-time starters and a little bit less formful than normal, I think Casemiro hopefully not fall too far behind, because he has shown speed in the past, but that late kick is just unbelievable. And Jerry Chow, who we talked about 2 weeks ago, is just killing it now that he's down to a 7-pound apprentice rider, but he's just riding just fantastically. So we'll go with number three, Casimiro, in race seven, Sunday morning. And then we'll go on to race nine on the all-weather. In race nine, we're going to go 1650. So it's like a two-turn mile. And I'm going to go with number 14. Now, remember, we're not 14 is not the post position. This one actually draws post two. And because it's 14, this is the lightweight in the race, Sky East Supreme. But it's ridden by Joe Moreira. Now, one big advantage that Joe has is he can make 113. Now, he probably will be 2 pounds over. But Joe can ride light, where Zach cannot. Zach cannot get under 120. So Joe can pick up these kind of mounts. It's with Francis Liu, who they do a lot of business together. Horse is coming off a really sharp effort where he led every step of the way, got run down late. And I think he comes right back and does another good job, especially he should have the early pace pretty much to himself from an inside post. I think he's going to get ignored a little bit because he's number 14 and people in the handicap race and usually don't go down that far. But all you got to do is see Joe Moreira. That's enough for me. So race nine, we're going to go with number 14, Sky Supreme. And we got the one extreme, Speed, and the other extreme, Deep Closer.
Excellent. Well, Dick, should we next week, should we maybe get out ahead of, maybe Tuesday? Or how do we, how should we best attack the action next week?
I don't know when they're doing a barrier draw for the Sunday races.
Let's see.
So
we would know
the rider assignments for the jockey challenge, but we wouldn't know the post positions and everything for the international races. So I'm not sure.
All right. Well, whatever
you want to do, we can do both days.
It's true. We got a micro site. We could have a micro visit too for the Wednesday stuff. All right, let's do that. So we'll do a Tuesday, Thursday doubleheader.
Sounds good. Perfect.
Yeah. Super. Dick Powell, everybody, and HKJC, and thanks, Dick.
Okay, Steve. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Go to the main site, and it'll take you to the IR, to the international races, and looking forward to. I'm all in on Classique Legend. I started following Bon Ho, the owner. It seems like a fun. Maybe like the Randy Hill of Australasia, Von Ho. He's got 2 years worth of action to come yet for Classique Legend. He's got 2 years of racing planned out. Top of the hours here, a little past. Let's take a break. We've got to get to Tony. Haven't had a chance last week, of course, Thanksgiving Thursday, and. I saw one of my memories on Facebook popped up yesterday, or might have been Tuesday. This week has been a blur. I got to tell you, it's gone by fast. It was, I think, 2 years ago, one of Tony's last wins. We can't call them last wins. Most recent wins. we'll see what he's up to. He's. We didn't talk to him for 2 weeks. So Tony Black joins us next. We've got a visit coming to with Steve Haskin, of course, bottom of the hour. And I told you, Bob Moreno, Los Al, do a meet advance with Bob. And Rich Eng. It was Rich's birthday yesterday. In fact, I had it on my little notepad. I had Rich's name and Cherie. It was Cherie's birthday too, Cherie DeBeau. She got a new knee for her birthday. Back after this, Tony Black at the races, hour two.
The latest race. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
The exciting Southern California Thoroughbred Daytime Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse with opening day of the LA County Fair meet set for Friday, December 4th. The meet will feature five exciting stakes races, headed by the Starlet on Saturday, December 5th, and the Los Alamitos Futurity on Saturday, December 19th. Recent winners of the Los Alamitos Futurity include the outstanding multiple stakes winners Improbable and Thousand Words. On weekdays, our first post will be at 1 p.m., while weekends will feature a 12:30 p.m. first post time. Plus, our wagering menu includes a pair of $1 pick fours, a traditional $2 pick six, and the popular 14% players pick five. Watch and wager on all of the great racing action on TVG, plus all other major ADW providers and at open satellite locations. And as we continue to follow our local guidelines, we'd like to thank all the great racing fans across the nation for their continued support of the Los Alamitos Racecourse. Opening day, Friday, December 4th. Watch and wager on exciting Southern California Thoroughbred racing. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.